Thanks. Thank you for coming today. We get to talk about median hospital charges. First, I'd like to thank my co-authors, Amy Donaldson, Andrew Thomas, and Larry Cook. I've helped out a lot. And hopefully this presentation will help those of you who deal with hospital charges, and whether interpreting them or analyzing them. I don't have any relationships to disclose. But let's start with an introduction of the problem. So hospital charges, a very useful outcome in injury research. It's one of our few continuous outcomes we have. We can use it to describe, maybe quantify injury severity, or test for differences in interventions or policies, those kinds of things. So it's very useful. However, they usually kind of look like this. This is a very skewed distribution of charges. Some really high charges, but the majority are down at the bottom of the distribution. So when you're going to describe the center of that kind of distribution, oftentimes you want to use the median. Now, the median's not affected by those extremely large observations, because the median's just the middle observation, right? Just the 50th percentile. And so oftentimes, if you're making a fact sheet, you're summarizing your data, maybe for legislation or maybe for a research project, you might describe your charges using medians. Another thing you might do, maybe for more complex analyses, you might log transform your data. This is a standard method. You might log transform your data and then treat that distribution as if it were normal, and you can do a lot more more complicated analyses with that. You might stare at that, you might convince yourself it's normal, maybe you'll convince yourself it's not normal, and so that's kind of the problem. Sometimes, you have to know when you can assume that that distribution looks like what the method that you're using is assuming. So that's a standard way to analyze the data. Another complication, so we have the skewed data. Another complication with charges in particular is missing data. So charges oftentimes come from these large administrative databases, and they tend to have missing data. So one way we can handle that is through multiple imputation. Multiple imputation basically builds a statistical model that's used to fill in missing values in your data set with good guesses. So since this data are just good guesses, you repeat the process several times to get multiple data sets, analyze them separately, and combine the results at the end to get a final result that adjusts for the fact that some of your data were missing, some of your data were not. So that's just another complication with charges. So now we've talked about the skewness and the missingness, and we can get to what I've been working on a little bit, is finding a confidence interval for the median. So you might be able to report that sample median, but a lot of times you want an interval estimate. You want to know how sure you are about that median, so you'll want a confidence interval. So this kind of interval can be obtained a few different ways. You can use that log transformation. You could use the log transform data. Or you can use quantile regression, which is a non-parametric method, to get that confidence interval. I'd love to talk about those methods in depth, but just real quickly, the transformation method assumes that your distribution of transform charges is normal. And then since it's normally distributed, it's symmetric, the average is the same as the median. So you can estimate the average or the mean, a confidence interval for the mean. And then since the median is the middle of your data, whether you transform it or not, you can unlog your estimates of that confidence interval to get a confidence interval for the median in dollars, in your original dollars of charges. Now, quantile regression doesn't make distributional assumptions. You don't need to log transform your data. It uses a sample median as the estimate of the median. It makes sense. And then use some computational method to estimate the variability of that median. So bootstrapping is a typical way to do that. So once you get a good guess, an estimate of that variability of the median, you can get a confidence interval. So the objectives of this study are to compare those two methods in obtaining confidence intervals. We'll compare them through simulation from a population that's known, right? We know the median. We'll simulate samples from that and compare our estimates to the known median. And then at the end, we'll apply it to the motor vehicle crash data set. And that's a nice realistic application. So first, the simulations. In general, our simulations work like this. We sample 2,000 observations from a known population. We simulate 10% missing, so we just delete 10% of the data at random. Impute that data to get imputed data sets. And then we will estimate the confidence intervals, and we'll repeat that 100 times. Just to compare the methods, we'll use mean square error, bias, the coverage of a 95% confidence interval, and the width of a confidence interval. So the populations we sampled from, I'm just going to show two. The first is the population where the charges are normal when they're log transformed, so it's a nice normal curve. The second population is an empirical distribution based on observed injury-related inpatient charges from Utah's database, and it's so we used 5 years of data, adjusted it for inflation, so it looked like one distribution of charges, and so that's our empirical distribution. So basically, we have the perfect situation for the transformation method, and then a more realistic distribution of charges. Now the median, we set the median of the first distribution to be the same as the median for the second, and the variance to be equal. So you could look at the plots and things and compare directly, or more easily. That's the details. So in the first simulation, you can see I've got a caterpillar plot here. The x-axis is charges in dollars. The black line is the true median. It's between $15,000 and $16,000. And each line is a confidence interval. So the lower end of a red or a blue line is the lower confidence limit, and the upper end is the upper confidence limit. And you can see that the confidence intervals, in general, cover the true median. That's what we hope. In fact, the transformation method in red covers 95% of the time. They're 95% confidence intervals, so that's exactly what we expect, performing very well. Quantile regression method also performs well, and 96% of the time it covers well within our expected range of that. Now, in this situation, the transformation method has a smaller mean square error. It also has those confidence intervals are more narrow or more precise. So the quantile regression confidence interval is about 25% larger on average. So that's in the perfect situation. Now with the more realistic or the empirical data, you can see that all of the red, the transformation method confidence intervals are too high. In fact, they only cover the median about 30% of the time. Average bias of about $900. So it's overshooting the median. Quantile regression, on the other hand, covers 98% of the time. Negligible bias seems to be performing pretty well in this situation. So what's going on? What happened with the transformation method that time? Here we have a histogram in the gray of the log transformed empirical data. And I plotted a red normal curve over the top of it. It looks pretty close to the same thing. There might be a slightly heavier tail on the upper end. In fact, if you look at the skewness measure, which is just a measure of how skewed it is, skewness is 0.41. Under normality, it should be zero. So a positive skewness means that the upper tail is really a little bit too heavy compared to normal. And then the interesting thing is the transformation method is estimating the median of the red curve, but the quantile regression method is estimating the median of the gray histogram, which is the correct one, which leads to the bias. So, kind of showed the simulation. Let's look at application to motor vehicle crashes. So, codes data, crash outcome data evaluation system data uses medical outcomes related to motor vehicle crashes for highway safety research and. The codes data, we have access to emergency department charges, hospital inpatient charges, and because of all the missing data and unknown information, we use multiple imputations. So this is, prompted the simulations and that kind of thing with the multiple imputation too. So we've with the codes data, we're using 3 years of inflation-adjusted charges. We have several data sets. We have a Utah data set, which has emergency department charges and inpatient charges. And then we have a large multi-state data set, which includes 18 states. Utah is one of those. And that's to kind of, that we wanted to try the method on a smaller data set and a really large data set to kind of see what the implications were. So the largest data set is the multi-state emergency department data set. It has more than, 1.3 million records times five amputations. So upwards of 6 million cases, rows of data. So before we get to the actual medians, we compared the time it took to run these analyses. So the transformation method could do it really fast, between 1 and 17 seconds, no matter what size of data set we used. Quantile regression, though, a small data set only took 4 seconds. That's not a big deal, but the large data set, it did take 1.74 hours. So this is sometimes the criticism of some of these non-parametric quantile regression type methods. But if you can get the right answer in 1.74 hours, I think it's probably worth it. The details are here. The computer we used, and we use SAS to run all this. There are other packages in R and other software. So here we have the medians. The transformation ones are in red. I put those up so that you can compare it. Because of the simulations and things, we're going to trust the quantile regression column. See, the ED charges in Utah are about $705 for motor vehicle crashes, $826 in the multi-state data set. Inpatient charges, we'd expect them to be larger. It's interesting, Utah is around $30,000, whereas the multi-state, it's only about $19,000. And if you're comparing the methods, you can look at the confidence intervals of each of these, and that's really what the method does is, each method is trying to figure out these confidence intervals. You can see they don't overlap at all. So we're getting, depending on the method you use, you're getting totally different answers as far as an interval estimate. So let's just talk about the pros and cons of the methods. The transformation method really worked well in the perfect situation. Under normality, it had narrow intervals. Remember, it had a better mean square error than the other method. And it's computationally efficient. You can run it in seconds. The cons of this method are, we saw in the empirical data, provided poor coverage, a biased estimate, and that this is because it's estimating something different than the median, unless your data are truly normal in log transform. The quantile regression method gave unbiased estimates, good coverage in all the situations, and it will estimate the median no matter what your distribution looks like. It did require more time, and the confidence intervals were wider in the perfect, normal situation. So our conclusions are pretty simple. If you're putting together a fact sheet, if you're doing a research paper and you want to summarize charges using a median, use quantile regression. It's more robust to real data situations. We showed that it works with multiple imputed data, and not just, a single data set. And if you are going to use a log transformation, check normality. Look at your distribution, and try to find out what exactly those assumptions, whatever your method you're using to analyze your log transform charges, figure out what those assumptions are and what might be affected. So for future directions, the median is great. A lot of research is done with regression, correlation analysis, that kind of thing. So we're working on comparing these two methods when it comes to regression and estimating differences between groups and those things. Here are a few references: the multiple imputation, quantile regression, and transformation method. There's a lot of references. These are my favorite three, I guess. For those. And I need to thank NHTSA for their help with this study. Through a cooperative agreement, we were able to use that 18-state data set. They also helped us with SAS code and SAS programs and things. So big thanks to them. And thank you for sticking around today.
We have time maybe for three questions. Please state your name and maybe affiliation.
Sarah.
Real quick question. Do we know whether or not the transformational method overestimates the amount that's predictable so that you can actually
adjust?
Studies to determine
No, that'd be interesting. So it would totally depend on the shape of the distribution. But, I mean, you should be able to look at, you know, your distribution and kind of get an estimate. So if you might be able to estimate, say this was just a sample. We're treating this as a population. But if you just had a sample, you could estimate the difference between the sample median and the, you know, the sample mean.
Right, and then reduce it, and you're probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Maybe by that time
right. 1.74 hours. Yeah. Well, and then one interesting thing is, you know, CODES data is typically very large data sets, and so we can tell when we do our confidence intervals that they're very different. But if you have a smaller sample, say under 1,000, your confidence interval is going to be much wider, and you might not know that you are off by $900 because your confidence interval is so wide. So, say the safe bet is quantile regression, because especially with those small samples, you might be able to estimate a difference, but you might not know if it's real or not because it's the sample size.
I'm Margaret Warner from the National Center for Health Statistics. I have a question about the multiple litigation you did, and I'm sorry if I missed it, but I think in the simulation you said you took out the data at random, and it usually isn't that data are missing at random. There's usually some...
Right.
Bias in how they're missing, so that's why you need to account for it. So I'm not. Did you consider that in your simulation? Because if you just, do you see
right,
what
I'm saying? Yeah, exactly. So the multiple imputation theory, you know, assumes that it's if not missing at random or missing it completely at random, it's at least missing at random given the covariates and the other things you put in your model. So when we do imputation on CODES data sets, we build a statistical model that accounts for a lot of covariates. And so given all those covariates, we can get a good guess, hopefully an unbiased estimate of, you know, of what maybe that missing data should have been.
Oh, so you're but, actually imputing.
Yeah, so with our CODES data.
Okay.
With the simulations, all we did was, I mean, we're just using charges, and we just randomly deleted 10%. So mostly for the simulation, we wanted to make sure that both methods could be done on multiply imputed data, and I wasn't so concerned about kind of the underlying reasons for the missing data. Yeah. But that's a very good point.
Well, one of your slides showed the estimated median charges by ED charges and the inpatient charges between Utah and the Marshall States. I found quite striking that the estimated ED charges are very similar between Utah and the Marshall States. But if you look at the inpatient charges, it's a huge difference. $30,000 versus $90,000. What's going on there?
Well, there's a big difference between states and the types of charges we see. For example, one of our CODES data sets, the state just tends to have really low charges. So if you have a state that has really low charges, you know, and the bulk of their charges are at the bottom end of the distribution, it's just going to pull down the median. Because of that, maybe a multi-state median estimate isn't very interesting. Maybe you'd want to look at those by state.
Yes.
So
maybe by severity of injury and type.
Yeah, that too. And so typically you might use, I mean, you could use a median to say, you know, the median charges for helmeted motorcyclist, non-helmeted motorcyclist, or TBI, non-TBI, some very, you know, nice groups that would be more comparable. Yeah.
Last question.
Holly Hedegaard from Colorado. So in that regard, if the way that these cases were selected, were they selected based off of the V-code or based off of leading to a traffic accident report?
Right.
That could also say that the distribution of the types of motor vehicle crash victims in different states could be different if they were all, some were occupants, some were pedestrians, some were bicyclists, that type of thing.
Right.
That mixture could also kind of have some play in terms of what the...
Yeah, so...
So I don't know, how are the cases selected?
So we have all of the police records, and we link those to the hospital data set. So we don't depend.